Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with Decatur Herald and Review for August 13th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Runner is Among the Elite. Decatur Dentist has run a marathon in all 50 states. From Decatur, Mary Cole had never called herself a runner, but now at 45 years old, she wears the label like a badge of honor. I didn't like the name before because I never thought I could do it, she said. It is now a compliment. A Decatur dentist, Cole is also part of an elite group of people who have run a marathon in all 50 states. According to the 50 States Marathon Club, nearly 4,500 runners have crossed this finish line. It took 2 years and 9 months, she said, of completing a marathon in each state. She finished her last state, Alaska, 2 weeks ago. Cole had planned to meet her goal by the age of 50, but set a faster pace for herself. I was going to make it an 8-year plan, she said. Then I got impatient and did it a little quicker. As a child in Louisville, Kentucky, Cole wore orthopedic shoes to correct her pigeon toes so she didn't participate in sports. I was the person everybody asked for test questions, she said. You weren't going to pick me for a sports team. Although she was not a runner, she did join the Navy in her 20s, and physical activity became a part of her daily life. In boot camp, she was required to run 1.5 miles, during which she quickly would become sick. Running was not my thing, so I chose swimming, Cole said. You had to do push-ups and sit-ups, but swimming was my better sport. After 8 years as a Navy dentist, life happened quickly for Cole, and the years brought heartache. She and her husband struggled to have children, losing 3 babies during 2 separate pregnancies. The first baby who died was from a set of triplets. The death caused Cole to suffer depression. I didn't work or anything, she said. I just took care of the kids. The couple added one more child to the family and eventually moved to Decatur. For more than 10 years, exercise was not a priority for the new mother. It was not something I even thought about, Cole said. Following a miscarriage with twins, Cole felt a renewed desire to be healthy. She had another wake-up call after her mother had a stroke, and she said the rest of her family was not healthy, causing her to look at her lifestyle. My family dies early, 45, 60, most of them died from strokes or cancer, she said. Cole researched what she needed to do to get going, and as she began improving her health, she said she felt better. She also watched what she ate. Everything you put in your body affects everything, Cole said. Cole began her first exercise challenge with a 5K run. Although she struggled through the 3.1 miles, she found other runners to be positive influences. I couldn't do it at first, but everyone was so encouraging, she said. In the beginning, marathons were not a consideration. She wanted to focus again on swimming, so she tried a mini triathlon. The challenge encouraged her to try more running, so she tried a half marathon and felt good afterward, she said. As she took on more steps and longer runs, she introduced another challenge to her life. She wanted to see the world. Cole's first marathon was in Springfield, and she gradually added to her race itinerary, attempting one every weekend. Cole said her journey to run a marathon in all 50 states isn't about the run, but to inspire others to be more confident and to do things they thought they could never do before at any age, she said. Age is just a number. Cole adheres to the idea that runs should be fun, and she dresses up for many of the marathons in outfits such as Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, Wonder Woman, or an old lady. I like to inspire people to finish and just be healthy, she said. I have a different aspect than the majority of others. Many mishaps can prevent a runner from finishing a marathon, including an injury or getting lost, things Cole has experienced and overcome. It can happen, she said. Cole does not focus on her marathon times, but instead finishing before the allotted time has expired. It's not about winning anything, she said. Sometimes I stop and take pictures. Most of the marathon trails are picturesque. Disney is my favorite, she said. I got to ride a roller coaster in the middle of the marathon. Cole's health is no longer a worry. Her life insurance company has placed her in the super healthy category. It's the top of the line, she said. They said no one gets that category. She credits her good health to the running and eating well. Cole reads labels looking for limited and chemical-free ingredients. She avoids sodas, high fructose corn syrups, and artificial sweeteners. Diet is everything, she said. You can run all the marathons in the world, but if you eat horrible, then you are not going to be healthy. Future plans include more marathons and repeating all 50 states. Cole is also helping other runners achieve the 50-state mark. Sharon Thornton is a fellow runner on the way to the same milestone. Thornton has run in 34 states, starting the challenge 2 years ago. The two have shared a total of 43 marathons together. I signed up for the marathon and we ran side by side, Thornton said. Mary was so inspirational. The advice Thornton found most helpful didn't involve running, but nutrition. After Thornton ran her first marathon, she felt tired and sluggish. Cole recommended multivitamins and probiotics, and I felt great. I had the energy now, Thornton said. Anything she recommends, I try. The running comrades do not train for the marathons other than local events held throughout Decatur. They instead attempt a different marathon each month. According to Thornton, the joy of running a 26.2-mile race doesn't always come from the actual running, but the journey along the way. A marathon shows you the highlights of the city you are running in, she said. You get a mini vacation and a marathon. Cole has met people from around the world during the marathons. She's heard from others that her faith, attitude, and confidence have been inspirational. The words crazy and maniac have become compliments, she said. And this article by Donette Beckett is part of the Together Decatur series. And if you know a person or a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983. And next, Tony Reed writes, Shop with a Cop, Police Help Kids Buy School Clothes. This is from Forsyth. Back to school shopping can actually be a fun experience when you have a police escort. A total of 90 kids aged from pre-K through 8th grade and accompanied by their families hit Kohl's store in the Hickory Point Mall Sunday in two waves, 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Each child shopper was matched with a Decatur police officer armed with $100 per child to spend on back-to-school clothing and, from shoes to underwear, law enforcement covered it all. I enjoy it. This is fun, said Detective Sergeant Steve Carroll, ably assisted by sons Stone, 17, and Storm, 14, as he escorted Hinton family members Genia, 13, and Julian, 12, who were all sibling smiles in the united search for what they needed. I think this is truly a blessing, said their mother, Sandria Hinton, 50, who lives in Decatur. It's a very good thing to do for the community. Hinton said back-to-school time meant an extra strain on already hard-pressed family budgets, and a helping hand from the long arm of the law was greatly appreciated. But asked if the event showed police officers in a different, kinder light, Hinton replied, I've never known them in any other way. The Shop with a Cop back-to-school program is in its fifth year and follows on from the success of the Christmas Shop with a Cop, which buys gifts for families in need and dates back more than 20 years. Both events are organized by the Decatur Police Benevolent and Protective Association, Unit 39, a police union that represents both active and retired officers. Community fundraising and donations pay for the Shop with a Cop costs, which work out at about $9,000 for each event. Sunday's back-to-school shoppers also received backpacks care of the YMCA, along with donuts and drinks. "The community has always been very supportive of us," said Sergeant Scott Rosenberry, the PB and PA Unit 39 president. "And it's because of that support we've been able to utilize the money we've brought in through donations from companies and individuals to pay for this back-to-school program in August." Rosenberry said officers knew the need was out there and got their leads on which students to help by seeking recommendations from city schools and organizations like the Boys and Girls Club of Decatur. "We never have a problem finding families that need some help," he added. And if you would like to contribute, you can make a donation to the next Shop with a Cop by going to the DecaturPBPA39.com and click on the Donate tab. And continuing on the front page, a special report, Cancer in Central Illinois. Preventative measures improve prognosis. Screenings, lifestyle changes also boost odds for the at-risk. This is from Tom Lissy. The good news, fewer people are dying of cancer these days. Deaths from the disease have dropped by a quarter nationally since 1990, a testament to improved treatments, technology, and screenings that make it more likely doctors will catch the disease early. A decline has also taken place in Central Illinois, where counties, including DeWitt and Macon, have continued to report cancer incidence rates higher than the national average. The bad news. Without knowing why more people here get cancer, it's difficult to prescribe a strategy to lower the rate. Doctors and healthcare leaders say people should take preventative steps to lower risk factors for cancer, but also embrace more available screenings that catch the disease earlier. Andrea Sheffer, a Decatur nurse, had preventative surgery after discovering she has a genetic mutation that makes her more likely to develop an aggressive form of breast cancer. Sheffer was tested after doctors found it in her sister, Susan Bishop, who was diagnosed with cancer in May 2009. Seeing the devastation and the sickness and the financial struggle that people go through when dealing with cancer, Sheffer said, when you can prevent that, who wouldn't? The mutation that Sheffer and Bishop have is one of two, known as BRCA1 and BRCA2, that scientists have determined can lead to breast cancer. There are many other factors associated with breast cancer, the most common cancer in women, and research suggests they are not the only mutations in the human genome that increase the likelihood of developing some type of cancer. Still, the DNA test is one example of how medical advances and technology are playing a role, both in cancer mortality rates and how many get the disease in the first place. The use of mammograms for breast cancer screenings has also significantly reduced the number of women who die from breast cancer, said Dr. Renata Moore, a radiation oncologist who sees patients at both HSHS St. Mary's Cancer Care Center and the DMH Cancer Care Institute. But Bishop's experience also provides a cautionary lesson on how individual experiences can differ. "You could never see my cancer in the mammogram. It never showed up because of the tumor's density," Bishop said. Her husband found a lump in her breast just 3 months after her last mammogram, she said. "I tell women all the time, a mammogram is one of the tools in the toolbox. It's not a guarantee," she said. You have to know your body. When you self-check once a month, you start to know where your own lumpiness is. At Warner Hospital and Health Services in Clinton, administrators are trying to get more patients in the door for regular checkups and low-cost or free screenings for cancer and other serious ailments. Population health is really the word where all of us are working to improve the quality of health of our patient base, said Paul Skowron, CEO of Warner Hospital. Because the federal government is still talking about the future being about the quality of care rather than volume of care. Next month, Skowron said the hospital will start offering patients free lung cancer screenings. We're trying to reduce the costs of healthcare, and the number one way to do that is to use preventative medicine, he said. Lung screenings are a perfect example of the kind of thing we want to be involved in. Screenings are a key part of finding cancer early. Dr. James Wade, a medical oncologist at Cancer Care Specialists of Illinois in Decatur, said the American Cancer Society and Decatur Memorial Hospital's joint effort to promote free screenings for colorectal cancer in recent years has significantly brought down the number of advanced cases of the cancer in the area. More and more people got screened, and we can actually measure a difference with a large number of patients who were found to have colon cancer. They were found to have it, diagnosed at a much earlier stage, Wade said. I think that coupled with the Affordable Care Act, where more people got access to care, we saw a real downtrend with patients coming in the door with advanced disease. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 800,000 more Illinoisans gained health insurance between 2013 and 2016, covering the period when the Affordable Care Act took effect in 2014. Most of the gains came from newly eligible adults under the ACA's Medicaid expansion, data shows. A study in the medical journal Cancer found a marked increase of low-income patients getting breast cancer screenings the years following implementation of the law. Other hospitals and clinics in central Illinois routinely advertise free or low-cost screenings for patients, including DMH and HSHS St. Mary's in Decatur. Mammography has made a big improvement in us being able to diagnose pre-invasive breast cancers, and that's reduced our death rate for breast cancers, Moore said. Screenings can prevent cancer from ever developing in some cases. For instance, colorectal screenings can detect precancerous polyps before the disease ever manifests, Moore said. But for the most part, screenings help catch earlier, more treatable forms of the disease. Moore said colonoscopies that screen for colon cancer are an example of testing that has greatly improved survival rates. You're removing polyps years before they evolve into cancers, even early-stage cancers with a good prognosis, so that's made a huge difference, she said. The concept of prevention has gained the most steam among social service professionals who work directly with low-income families and individuals, demographic groups that are statistically less likely to find adequate care, and also less likely to have healthy lifestyles, said Allison Reha, a registered dietitian at Crossing Healthcare in Decatur. What we really try to focus on from a programming standpoint is just really reducing the risk of increased health disparities in the patient population, Reha said. What we see is if it's maybe people with a lower income that coincides with an increase in health disparities, so cancer would be one of those items. The magic formula for decreasing the risk of serious health problems would be of no surprise to anyone: healthy foods and exercise. We need to adjust with lifestyle changes, so that's what we look for, Reha said. When you look at cancer markers or a history of cancer in the family, or just your own lifestyle, so your own environment, what you choose to eat, and your activity makes a big impact on your outcome. Crossings prevention focused programs are some of the most comprehensive in the region, Wade said. We've all talked about it, but crossing is really taking action, the oncologist said. If that kind of activity can get dispersed throughout the community, I think we'll see some changes. The clinic offers patients fitness classes like Zumba several days a week and cooking classes like Illinois Junior Chefs, a program for kids to learn how to make popular foods with fresh and nutritious ingredients. If we can start young and early, then we're going to have these opportunities to really change paths and have them veer off into the positive direction, Reha said. And these kids are amazing. They make vegetable chow mein. The whole lobby smells amazing. The status quo at mealtime for many families, low income or otherwise, is the fast and familiar, Reha said. A lot of my patient population, it's like fried foods, quick foods, processed foods that are really quick and easy. They get stuck in a rut where they just do what they've always done, and I think we can all relate to that. Bertha Nance may be Crossing's poster child for the power of fresh foods. A patient, and now lead gardener for the clinic's prescription produce program, she said her bodily health has transformed in the 2 years since she started replacing heavy fried foods with lots of raw vegetables in her diet. I think differently now than when I did when I was growing up, cooking all the nutrients out, frying everything, Nance said. I just felt lazy all the time. I didn't want to think. Nance has made such a radical change to her diet, she said. It's not only changed her body and her ability to be more active, much of her health issues have reversed in a matter of 2 years. I had degenerative arthritis of the spine and I needed medication for the swelling all the time, she said. Now I don't, because I know in a cucumber there's anti-inflammatory properties. I eat one of these a day with the skin. And sidebar notes about this story. This is the second of a three-part series examining higher-than-average cancer rates in central Illinois. On Sunday, the paper ran a look at what factors are at play for high cancer rates in central Illinois. Today, how central Illinois is managing its high cancer rate. And tomorrow, what local support networks are in place to help those battling the disease. You can visit herald-review.com to see previous parts of this series. And from the Illinois Bicentennial Series, Rampage brings about NAACP. 1908 Springfield riot left death, destruction in its wake. In August 1908, a white mob thwarted in an attempt to lynch two black inmates in the Sangamon County Jail went on a rampage. They destroyed dozens of black-owned businesses and homes in Springfield. Two black men were lynched and five white men died during the riot, with dozens more injured. Other deaths connected to the riot happened in the days prior to and after it ended. Appalled that such an event took place in Abraham Lincoln's hometown, civil rights activists in New York began meetings that led to the formation of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, known more familiarly as the NAACP. For numerous reasons, noticeable tension along racial lines existed among the 50,000 people who lived in Springfield in 1908. That tension boiled over in August, having simmered for at least a month after the first of two high-profile accusations were made against black men. On or near June 1, 1908, 17-year-old black teenager Joe James jumped off a freight train passing through Springfield. Police ordered him to leave, but James stuck around and was eventually arrested for loitering. Late in the evening of July 4th, when he was granted a temporary parole from jail for good behavior, by James's own account, he must have wandered drunk and fell asleep outside. That same night, an intruder resembling James's description entered the Ballard home. Alerted by his daughter Blanche's screams, Clergy Ballard, a popular white mining engineer, caught up to the stranger outside the house. The two scuffled, and Ballard returned bleeding profusely. He died the next day. Ballard's sons and other young men searched the neighborhood and found a sleeping James and beat him senseless. Police arrived and broke up the bludgeoning. James denied knowing anything about the home invasion or Ballard's injuries. Still, he was charged with the crime. Perhaps the rage would have faded and James's trial would have been held without incident had Mabel Hallam not falsely claimed a black man named George Richardson sexually assaulted and dragged her from her Springfield house near midnight on Thursday, August 13, 1908. Crowds grew outside Sangamon County Jail where Richardson was being held as news of Hallam's alleged rape spread. The state militia was summoned, but it would take hours for troops to arrive. Sangamon County Sheriff Charles Werner decided to sneak Richardson and James out of the jail, hoping that if the crowd learned they were gone, people would go home. Werner had a fire station nearby sound its alarm and dispatch its trucks past the crowd. Werner was able to get prisoners out of the jail and into a car that sped off to Bloomington. The crowd became incensed when it discovered they had been duped. A handful of militiamen arrived at the jail and pushed back the crowd, but by then word had spread the car used to escort James and Richardson out of town belonged to Harry Loper, a white downtown restaurant owner. Within minutes, thousands assembled in front of Loper's restaurant. An estimated 5,000 rioters destroyed Loper's restaurant and torched his car. Then, organized groups methodically decimated dozens of black businesses and tenant rooms with bricks, torches, and bullets. Several black residents, either working downtown or who were out at the wrong place at the wrong time, were attacked and beaten. By 11 p.m., the mob had reached the Badlands, where many of the city's black families lived. The mob spent the next 4 hours torching roughly 40 black homes, avoiding those lived in by whites. At about 2 a.m., the mob reached Scott Burton's home. Burton had already lost his barbershop business and had sent his family away. He was soon beaten and lynched. His body was mutilated for the next half hour with bullets and knives. Only after Colonel Richings J. Shand ordered his militia troops to fire low into the crowd shortly after Burton's lynching did rioting end for the day. By Saturday morning, August 15th, six were dead or dying, and more than 100 whites and blacks had been injured. Many black residents had fled the city, although some found shelter in the basements of white neighbors, while others organized defensive fronts and patrols. Dozens sought refuge at Camp Lincoln and inside the Illinois State Arsenal, where the militia, sent from throughout the state early Saturday morning, pitched tents. And this article, which is part of the Illinois Bicentennial series, will be continued in the second half hour of the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review, August 13th, 2018. And we will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review shortly. Please stay tuned.